This is Changing the Rules, a podcast about designing the life you want to live. Hosted by Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Casey Dempster. Welcome to Breaking the Rules. And I am speaking to you today, not from beautiful downtown Woodbury, New Jersey, but from my home. And Ray Lowe will be joining us from his home. And our magnificent technology guru who keeps us on track is at the studio in beautiful downtown Woodbury. So good morning, Ray.
Good morning. So we're actually not breaking the rules this morning. Is that right?
Well, we changed the rules in the sense that we are not in person at the studio.
Yeah. See, we're not breaking the rules. We're complying. We're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing with social distancing.
Now that we
have that established, let's break some rules. So tell us a little bit about the meaning of our show. And then today we're going to talk about the plan.
Right. Well, basically, we named the show Changing the Rules because while we understand that when we're children, there are necessary rules, not just to control us from a negative perspective, but to teach children appropriate behavior in certain situations. And but as we get older, sometimes the outside environment, teachers, employers, parents continue to impose rules. And as we get older, they're not necessarily valid for us anymore. So, but we still comply because of it's a habit. So we believe that with the difficulty of change that many people experience, if they can feel that they are in control of it in some fashion, that it might make the change easier. So we encourage people to look at the rules maybe that are being imposed on them and tweak them and decide which rules are still appropriate for them and which ones they need to change. So we always say that in order to do this effectively, you have to have a plan. And also, in addition to a plan, you should have a playbook, which is sort of backup techniques or strategies for when your plan gets knocked off kilter. And there is no better example of this than what we're going through right now.
Okay, Ms. Dempster. So let's title this podcast Social Distancing Without Social Disengagement.
Exactly.
Because what I found is all of this social distancing, which is absolutely necessary. I mean, there's one rule I 100% believe in, and it's a good thing. But the problem is that this social disengagement is getting to me. I don't know how it's getting to you. And, you know, when we look at this concept of the plan, you know, we had a plan. All right.
Right.
Our plan was we were planning a conference, the Friends Conference in April 17th, as a matter of fact.
Right.
We have a travel trip planned in October. And we have a weekly or biweekly podcast that we're supposed to do. Now, that plan got derailed. Then it got derailed in a couple things. Nobody is doing any conferencing right now. So, and we can't even find out how we're going to reschedule it yet because the travel industry is still in free fall and nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
We're not sure whether our October travel connection trip is going to go on or not. Mm-hmm. We have been kind of leaving it open, hopefully that, you know, everything will be back to normal. But the fact is, we don't know.
Right.
Okay. And even our podcast, we missed doing a podcast in our last 2-week episode, primarily because we didn't know whether we should go to the studio, what we should do. And so that got derailed.
Right.
Now, fortunately, we have a playbook, right?
That is correct.
And the playbook is. We still have the playbook. And the interesting thing is that we had contingency plans for a lot of these things, and now we're putting them into play. So go ahead.
I just agreed with you. I said, right. I'm sorry.
Good. You should agree with me because sometimes I'm even right. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about some of the things that were in our playbook, and then we're going to get down to how we chose what we're going to do, and I'll let you actually talk at that point. How's that?
Big of you.
Okay, so we had a couple of things in our playbook. Number one is we have some experiences with virtual conferences. And although we didn't want to replace our Friends Connection conference, what we are going to do is interject a virtual conference on the date that our conference was scheduled. So the playbook allows us to continue. Yeah, it's different, but we're continuing with the same process and we're moving ahead. So thank you, Casey, for making sure that I did a playbook. All right. There are a couple of other things on here. For example, we have a book that we've been meaning to write for a while. Well, one of the joyous things about social distancing is it's freed up some time. So we're actually writing a book at this point in time. And we're redoing our website at this point in time. So the playbook kicks in here. And when the plan doesn't work, it doesn't have to go to zero. You don't have to be stymied. You know, you move forward based on the contingency plans that you made up.
That's right. I think you even have a personal playbook item that you came up with.
Oh, yeah. I decided I've been meaning to take a photo course for a long time. I dabble in photography, and I consider myself a fairly decent amateur photographer. But, you know, one of the things I've never mastered is my iPhone. And when I'm out taking pictures, I often have 40, 50 pounds of camera equipment with me, and I'm getting fed up with it, frankly. But I also have this trusty iPhone, and I have the new one. I have the iPro, or the iPhone 11 Pro with this fantastic camera. And I figured, well, it's time to learn to use it. And social distancing, as bad as it is, as much of a pain in the neck as it is going to allow me to start a course on April 3rd. And hopefully by the end of the month, I'll actually know how to do this stuff.
Awesome. So then you don't have to carry all that equipment. You'll be able to whip out that camera phone and take a picture the minute you see it. And, you know, when the inspiration hits, that's great.
Well, I don't think it's going to be that good. You still need the camera equipment. The iPhone's not going to do what I want it to do for the other stuff. But it allows you to always have a camera with you. And a part of the issue here is that I've been meaning to do this and meaning to do this, and it's part of the playbook plan, and now it's being invoked. So yeah. What I'd like you to tell me about is when the game plan isn't working and you have to pull in the playbook, I have this thing that I call the 90-day gut check.
Yes.
And you can rename this if you want for your purposes, but I'm not changing my name of it.
Okay.
So what happened? We ran into this thing and you made me sit down and say, it's time for the 90-day plan. How do we do that?
Well, basically, this is all part of our process in that we believe that everybody should have a plan, as I said in the beginning. And sometimes what prevents people or puts them off about making a plan is that they're thinking about a very long-term period. And that's overwhelming and daunting in that they think to themselves, well, and I've even thought this to myself when people say, well, you should have a 5-year plan. Well, I don't know what I want in 5 years, you know? And so what we've done is we have discovered this concept of a 90-day plan, because 90 days is manageable. It's not too overwhelming, and you can probably accomplish a lot in 90 days. And then what you get to do is, after 90 days, you get to look at things and tweak it. And that's why I call it the 90-day tweak. And I guess we're going to have to shoot fingers or paper, rock, scissors to come up with the name. But anyway, so what we do is we start out by asking what's working currently.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what's working?
Well, what's working is that we have more time. And as we've just indicated, you know, we didn't just come up with this idea of writing a book or doing the website or you with taking the photo course. Those were things that were kind of on our list that we'd like to do, but we were always kind of pushing it down, jumping things over it because we thought it had more priority. So in a sense, we had these things sort of in the back pocket, and now we were able to pull them out and get to work on them. And with respect to the photo course, that's something, you know, on a personal level, it's the same kind of a thing. Like, well, I should clean out my closet, but I don't have time, or I should do this, or I should do that. So what's working is you now have more time.
Okay.
And you can get some of these things done that have been kind of hanging over your head.
Yeah, there's another thing. We have proximity. So we have a lot of people who are home and they find their kids are home now and their husbands or spouses are home. And so the family is together. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you look at the typical semi-dysfunctional family in the U.S. today, okay, where everybody's running on their own circles, you know, they're off on their own, doing their own thing, and now all of a sudden, here we are, we have some forced proximity, mm-hmm. which could be a really good thing, okay?
Right. Well, I was going to say, it gives you a chance to sort of reconnect. Because it's true, you know, my children are adults and they're out on their own now. But when they were in school, they had sports and clubs and all kinds of things. And it was really hard to get quality time together.
Well, yeah. And daycare, of course, is not working for most people right now, which means the kids are home.
Right.
And that gets into, this is something that both works and doesn't work. So the advantage of proximity to your family is really good, but it's also the first thing that we listed when we said not what's not working, right?
Right. Which is the next step in this process. You know, so you write down what's working and then you say, okay, but what's not working?
Yeah, and sometimes the problem with being together is being together.
Yes.
Okay. So on the what's not working list, what else is there?
Well, the social engagement, and you touched on this in the opening of the show.
Okay. So here we are, you know, we're losing touch with friends. We're everybody feels squeamish about going to the supermarket or going out and doing things. And yet, there are some positive implications here, and this gets into, once you establish what's working for you and what's not working for you, we get into what you like to call the 90-day tweak. The 90-day tweak, by the way, is the way you fix the 90-day gut check. I'm not backing off on this thing.
Okay.
Because I think periodically we have to sit back and we have to look at this thing and force ourselves to look at what's working and what's not working. In our 90-day tweak here, some interesting things came out of it, because you sit here and you say, okay, we have no idea how long this stuff is going to go on, okay? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But one of the questions that you have to ask yourself is, do I waste this time? Do I just sit and do nothing, or do I actually make it useful to me? And how maybe do I keep in touch with people that have not been accessible to me and maybe people I haven't talked to for a long time? So one of the things that we've found is we've implemented some things and we're finding out that a whole lot of other people are implementing things. And let's start, Casey, with two events we set up, our virtual coffee shop and our virtual cocktail lounge. So why don't you talk about them for a couple minutes?
I will. This kind of came out of something that I was aware of many years ago. My mother shared with me at one point, she wasn't much of a drinker, but at one point she and her sister fell into a habit of calling each other at about 4 or 4:30 every day. It was sort of like, you know, at the end of the household chores, but before it was time to start dinner. And they decided that they would each make themselves a cocktail and they would talk on the phone and catch up on things while they drank their cocktail. So a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this this whole new situation that we're finding ourselves in, we mentioned having virtual cocktails together, and that sort of like burst open your creative mind, and you decided, well, let's have coffee in the morning one day a week and cocktails in the afternoon one day a week. And last week was our maiden voyage, if you will. And it was great.
Yeah, and I didn't have to drink alone. You know, before we go on, we missed our first break with Taylor. So I think we ought to let Taylor get a break in here, because okay. I need to hear Diana's voice for a minute or two here.
Okay.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
Okay, I believe we're right back, okay? Yeah. And at least we fulfilled our obligation. See, we do have rules. We do have rules, whether we like them or not. Right. So this concept of this virtual coffee shop or virtual lounge, I think there are a couple of parts to it that are really important. One of them is drama. So I know that one of the biggest things I've missed with this social distancing is I used to enjoy meeting friends after work and having a drink. And I used to miss periodically grabbing a cup of coffee with people. It was a great way to sit down with a couple of friends and kind of find out how they're doing and what they're up to and stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, I was told by the parties to be that this is not a good thing to do. You know, keep your distance. Okay. Uh-huh. So how do we get around that? Okay. We have wonderful technology today, and we're doing this broadcast right now on a Skype plan, but we also, Casey, have Zoom, and we have something called Ring Central Meetings, and these are tools that are available that there's no reason for not being in contact with people, and not being in contact with people visually as well as verbally.
Okay. That's right. I was going to say, you know, it's one thing to have a conference call, but I think adding the video part of it really makes it even better. My brother called me last week on the weekend just to check in, and we were talking, and I kept wanting to go to FaceTime so I could be looking at his face, but I knew he was on his house phone, so I couldn't do that. But it really adds, to me, it adds a level of connection.
Okay, now, I think that to do this the right way, you know, what people are looking for today is a little bit of drama put into this thing to make things a little more interesting, exciting, and maybe more hokey. How's that?
Okay. Well, you specialize in hokey.
Hokiness is a good thing. So what we were able to do is we went out and I bought a green screen for behind me. And by the way, this is something you can order from Amazon and they'll still deliver it. And it's $35-$40 to get something that hooks on the back of your chair. And it's just a solid green background. And then our conference call facilities, whether it's Zoom or whether it's Ring Central, have the ability to add a virtual background. And you can take any picture from anywhere in the world and you can have it projected behind you so that it appears as though you're in that setting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I now have a virtual coffee shop, and when we do coffee, you know, we get up in the morning and, you know, I'm sitting in my virtual coffee shop, which, by the way, happens to be in Paris at a nice cafe, and I'm able to go there virtually regardless of what the restrictions are. Uh-huh. And in the evening, when we're doing our cocktail hour, I have this wonderful bar behind me, you know, that's staffed the way I could only wish my bar at home was staffed. You know, it had everything and anything in there. But, you know, here it is. You actually feel like you're there. And that green screen allows these things to come in and be crystal clear. And I would suggest that other people have virtual coffee and virtual cocktails with their friends, mm-hmm. and keep this moving because they're fun. You know, you limit them to half an hour, 45 minutes. Everybody's got a chance to talk about things. You feel like you're in the background. And by the way, I was able to, in the middle of our cocktail hour, to change my background with a flick of my mouse. Mm-hmm. And I was on the beach.
Yes, and my virtual cocktail lounge served hors d'oeuvres.
Well, yeah, you were sitting there freaking out with that shrimp cocktail. And by the way, you didn't share with anybody, which annoys me. Okay.
Well, but and it made me happy because I didn't have to.
Well, and I'll go along with that. So I opened up a great bottle of bourbon for that day, and it happened to be Jefferson Old, very old, and it's a wonderful bourbon, and it's quite expensive, and I didn't have to share that with anybody either. So one of the great things about these virtual coffee things or cocktail things is that they're the cheapest parties you've ever thrown.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to share. And I went out for coffee, and I actually bought a coffee that has been aged in a bourbon barrel. And it's outrageously expensive. It's a couple dollars a cup. You know, nowhere near what the real Starbucks lounge would cost. But it's wonderful to experiment with these things and to share while you're talking with people about what you're drinking.
I was going to say that one of the things that we learned also is that it's you need to be careful about having too many people on. So we personally are limiting our group to 6 or 8, I think.
Is that correct? And eight starting to stretch it, but yeah. But 6 people can have a conversation and can talk almost in a normal plan. And, you know, it's not much different than being in a real cocktail lounge. You know, right. If you have 8 people, it's getting a little out of hand. And, right. You know, 4 or 6 people works pretty well. So size these things for you. And I think we would encourage everybody to do these things.
You know what I just thought of? I think it would be great if one of our guests is a piano player. They could be quietly playing piano in the background.
All right. I'm going to leave that up to you to arrange the next one there. Okay. I don't know what that's going to do to the cutting in and out of these of the conversation, but it would be amusing.
Yeah.
So here's the point. The point is there's stuff out there that you can do, and don't limit your creativity. Zoom, which is an absolutely free resource that you can download from the internet and allows you to have a conversation with a whole bunch of different people. Right. So maybe during this downtime, it's time to learn some new technology and experiment with some things. Mm-hmm. And then let it run.
Right. And we should mention with Zoom, if you get the basic, which is the free model, they will cut you off after 40 minutes.
Well, maybe we should be cut off at the end of 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So one of the things that happened is we got into this thing and we started doing these cocktail hours and these coffee clutches. More happened. So somebody showed up at one of our coffee things with this outrageous cream-filled donut. But it was a virtual cream-filled donut, so they didn't have to share, and it had absolutely no calories. Cool. So again, one of the things that I think you have to do is you play with these things and you build them. So what did we learn from this? We found that other people are doing interesting things. Right, Casey?
Yes. I think one of our guests had dinner with her family over Zoom.
Yeah, and she said she started out, the idea was it was her sister's birthday the day before. And she said, I think because of this, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to have dinner with my sister virtually. Now, you can do that on FaceTime, you can do it on Zoom, you can do it on a whole bunch of different platforms. But the concept of having dinner with a family member works really well. Mm-hmm. And I think it got out of hand. I think she said that we had dinner with 7 families that night.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted to get in on this. And it worked really well until somebody's iPad fell in the mashed potatoes. All right. So we had other things, other people taking this and expanding it. So somebody did a baby shower.
Yeah. Because there are still, this is probably more pertinent to women than men, but generally at baby showers, you all sat around while the person opened each gift and held it up, and they would pass the gifts around so you could really get a good look at them. And younger people are less interested in that part, but the aunts and grandmothers, they might still want to do that. So they did that on this virtual baby shower, and the younger people were bored, but the older people really appreciated it.
Yeah, and think about this. This is a time when especially you don't want to drag the older people out to a gathering.
Right.
Okay, so this way everybody was able to ship in their gift in advance. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the mom in this case was able to sit there and open the gift while whoever sent it to them was able to zoom in and watch and could watch the expression on mom's face in this case.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool, and there's no limit to where you can take this.
Right.
You got me motivated with this thing to the point where I actually called my two sisters up, and we had virtual cocktails. And, like every other family, we're a semi-dysfunctional family. We get together occasionally, but it's really rare. And so I have a sister in Denver, and I have one in the Cleveland, Ohio area, and I'm in the Philadelphia area. And we were able to sit around and have cocktails, and everybody described what they were drinking. We could catch up on everybody. The visual part is wonderful because you know that people are healthy. You can tell right away.
Right.
So you know whether to get worried or not about people. And I think it's wonderful. And so we delegated this job to one of my sisters, and we're going to have another one of these things near the end of April.
And yeah, you're going to be sick of each other.
Well, I have a feeling that this is going to continue well after whatever this pandemic thing does.
Right.
Because it's just such a great way of dealing with things, and you put time limits on things.
Right.
So your Zoom cutting off after 40 minutes, that's probably the limit of what you should do. Okay.
Right.
And or cut it off in a half an hour. But the idea here is that there's no excuse for getting together. You don't have to write a letter. You know, you send an email setting up the plan and it works.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm working on something with my family. I'm one of seven children, and we're very spread out. My oldest sister was 18 when my youngest brother was born, and there was a big gap. So recently, my older sister came into possession of my father's old home movies and had them digitized. And we each got a CD or a DVD to be able to watch it. The problem was that it's not like photographs where you can write on the back who's who. And the younger part of the family didn't know from the movies of my older sister and myself who a lot of the people in the background were. And I had to do some digging because I have two laptops and my newer one doesn't have a DVD drive, but the old one does. I found a cable where I can hook them up together. And what I'm going to try to do is put together one of these conference calls and have as many people on as possible. And as my brother calls it, create a director's cut where the older ones of us can say who people are or reminisce about what's being shown. And the younger ones will be able to feel more attached to the family. The later movies of the younger ones, when they were little, the older half of the family already knows who all the players are. So we don't really need it as much for the end of the video. But the beginning part, there were a lot of people and events that, not everybody remembers or knew.
And just another great idea of how you can use this extra time that we've been given and how we can use technology. I think we need to let Taylor give us a short break here, and then we'll be back with more ideas.
Okay.
This is Changing the Rules. Stay tuned to learn more about the Friends Connection and how you can be a part of this valuable life experience.
So, you know, that's technology working. It's short, sweet,
and to the point. Done.
And to the point.
Yeah.
And it keeps everybody, it reminds everybody who they're listening to, which probably is a good thing in our case. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the learning opportunity. I'm going to take photo courses.
Right.
And interestingly enough, all of a sudden, my wife, Sandy, who's never been interested in this stuff, but I think is fascinated by the fact that she doesn't have to carry a camera around. She can use her iPhone. Mm-hmm. And she's suddenly interested in taking this course, too. So we're actually going to have a family get together. And, you know, I have no idea how that's going to work out, but it should be quite amusing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, other people are doing things that are interesting with the learning. Mm-hmm. So Amber, who happens to be our virtual assistant, and the firm that she works with, it has a high number of moms that are trying to work. And so they're sending their kids to daycare. And now all of a sudden the kids are home. Okay. Right. And now it's interfering with their ability to do the work that they want to do. And they really don't want to stop.
Right.
So somebody came up with the idea of virtual day camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about how you can expand this. In this particular case, they divided up the chores. So somebody could take the kids for an hour and tell a story. Somebody could take the kids for an hour and do crafts. Somebody could do other things. Well, this is a great thing for grandparents to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't have to be this long formal thing. It's that you've got the ability to get your grandkids on the phone, give your kids a little bit of space during the day, continue to bond with your grandchildren, and turn on something exciting and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
And some kids are doing schoolwork, but it definitely is important for the children who are not in school. And after the schoolwork is done, you know, have something at a different level of ability for the kids who are older.
Yeah, you know, I think there's one other important thing that's really important here, and it gives us an opportunity to do some things. We've been talking pretty much about family and close friends. But there's an opportunity here to call people that you haven't talked to for a long time mm-hmm. and initiate a conversation. And one of the great things about phone conversations and technology is you can put a time limit on them. But there are a lot of people who are distanced here, who aren't getting out, who don't have a lot of friends, and that social contact is completely missing.
Right.
So I think that one of the things that I'm trying to do is pick up the phone a couple times a day and call people I haven't talked to for a long time. Now, I'm inviting them to come to the cocktail party eventually, too. But what it is doing is it's taking me back to people that I haven't seen for several years and reinstituting a contact. And it's a question of what's not working or what is working is I have more time. How do I use it to take advantage of it and make it really good?
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts before we
wind things up? No, I think that people are being challenged and we can face that challenge in a positive way by trying to come up with some creative things, given the opportunities that we have, and to try really hard. It's hard not to focus on the negative because the media is bombarding us with these dire numbers day in and day out. But try to focus on the positive and, you know, like, wow, I can take this photography course now, or wow, this gives me an opportunity to spend more time keeping in touch with friends that maybe I wouldn't get to on an ordinary basis. And I think that that's the best.
Yeah, you know, in closing, one other thing, I was sent this really interesting piece by some of the people that I'm doing work with, and it's 25 ways to have fun at home. And I was amazed at some of the things that are are in here. For example, you can log into the San Diego Zoo's website and you can watch their animal cameras. So you can see giraffes and penguins and koalas and other animals live on camera. And whether you do this just because you want to kill some time or you want to bring a grandchild into the picture, you can do this. The Georgia Aquarium, the Monterey Bay Aquarium, do the same kind of thing. I understand that the Metropolitan Opera has nightly streams that you can listen to. So there are whole bunches of things available, and it's our opportunity to stay engaged. It's our opportunity to learn, and it's our opportunity to use the extra time that we've been given wisely. So I think this is going to change our life going forward, but there's some real opportunities here. And KC, I'm going to give you your second chance at parting comments here.
Well, Ray, what I will say is it's going to be interesting to see how many of these strategies that people are starting to employ remain in place after this crisis is over. But in the meantime, we've reached the end of our time, and I would invite people to get in touch with us if they want to through our website, www.theluckiestguyintheworld.com, and click on the Contact Us and send us an email and tell us some of the interesting and different ways that you are dealing with this social distancing situation. And we will be back in 2 weeks. We may have a guest, we may not. It depends, but that's what all this changing the rules is about. So join us again in 2 weeks, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Rules, a podcast designed to help you live your life the way you want and give you what you need to make it happen. Join us in 2 weeks for our next exciting topic on Changing the Rules with KC Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.